Without any further delay, I'm going to go ahead and invite our guest speaker for tonight, Sayyid Muhammad Hashmi from the Islamic Republic of Iran, who is going to be speaking to us about Arba'in and the new Islamic civilization. Let's go ahead and invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billah min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Bari'il Khala'iq Ajma'in. وبعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على النبي الأمي العربي الهاشمي القرشي العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأراضين بأبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد ثم الصلاة والسلام على آله آل الله واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أعداء الله إلى قيام يوم الله. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all of us amongst the most sincere followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhi, to those brothers and sisters who had this tawfiq to visit the holy shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein on these days and nights. Taqabbalallahu minkum inshallah. And to those brothers and sisters who, despite the fact they really wanted to do so, but they couldn't do the ziyar of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in this Arba'in, I would say that, inshallah, jazakumullah khayran fi hadha sabr, because it requires patience to see all of the our brothers and sisters now are running to the holy shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, and we are all left behind. Inshallah, in, you know, both of them, there is a, you know, hikmah and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you need to be patient, and sometimes you reach the place that you really want to reach. And because I am one of those who left behind in this Arba'in, I really don't feel very well now, so inshallah, tolerate me in this. It's so hard for me to talk. And inshallah, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, once again, he gathers all of us, inshallah, next year on the flag of Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman, bi barakati salawatin ala Muhammad wa ali al-Athar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ajjal faraj. It is, you know, strange to say who started this great gathering of Arba'in. If you look back, you know, 10 years earlier, 11 years earlier, you know, in Iran, I can't mention a name that this person, with the contribution of others, he was the person, or they were those people who revived the ziyarah of Arba'in. They told people that there is something called Ziyarat al-Arba'in. Even for the Iraqi people, if you look, you see, yes, there are some scholars, some great scholars, like Sheikh al-Ansari, like Mirza al-Nuri and others. They joined this Arba'in walk during like these days and in these times. But you can't find a specific name that he started this Arba'in walk. Really, you can't find that. I really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Imam Hussein himself, they are behind all of this greatness of Arba'in. Because as we said before on the some lectures in the first 10 nights of Muharram, Zainab Salamullah alayhi, Lady Zainab Salamullah alayhi, she told Imam al-Sajjad that سَيُنْسَبُ فِيهَا ذَا عَلَمٌ, there will be a flag here that cannot be ever disappeared. This is the flag of Hussein. This is the emblem of Hussein. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is managing everything. Because Hussein is the thar Allah, is the blood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was the reason behind what? Behind the all of the incidents of the day of Ashura. We hear and talk about Islamic civilization. What is a civilization? This world experienced several civilizations. Roman civilization, Greek civilization, Persian civilization, modern civilization, an earlier Islamic civilization. But when we talk about a civilization that will come and dominate this world, we are referring to this verse of Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. And we have written in the Zabur after the dhikr, means Torah, that my most righteous servants will inherit the earth, which hadn't happened yet. Some people say that this is the Israelites, Bani Israel. No, they didn't inherit the earth. They were just a group of people in a part of the earth, like Egypt and then Palestine. Not the entire earth and the entire population of this planet and in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something about the future. Not about the Qawm Musa, salamullahi alayhi. And he says that they will inherit the earth, as-salikhun. And brothers and sisters, I talked about this before on the nights of Muharram, that how Imam Hussein alayhi salam can shape new civilization. But tonight I'm going to focus on one of the aspects of this new Islamic civilization, the promised civilization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a civilization? What are the characteristics of a civilization? In a civilization, you have a group of people who share, relatively same aims, same ideas, same thoughts, and same efforts to reach a level, to reach an aim together. That shapes a civilization. The architecture, the costumes, their clothes, their food, this comes after their thoughts and ideas and mindsets and aims. And in Islamic civilization, we say that this civilization is not under the flag of materialism. People here are not, competing to earn more from this materialistic world. No. They are trying. All their efforts is for the greater good, for a greater world, beyond this material world. They are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how that happens? How can you have such people that they are ready to give away their material benefits to reach a greater goal, a greater aim? We have a narration, beautiful narration, in Tuhaf al-Uqul from Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayh. There he says that, Imam al-Sadiq says, look, these are the manners of the followers of Ahlul Bayt. And by these manners, we're going to build a new civilization. It's not just by words and talking to one another. No. We have to be like this. Imam al-Sadiq says that الماشي في حاجة أخيه كالساعي بين الصفا والمروة. the person who intends to walk and to go to fulfill the need of his brother haven't reached the place yet. He just intended and started to go there. He is like a person who is doing sa'y bayna safa wal marwa in the hajj, with just walking to his brother. وَقَاضِي حَاجَتَهُ كَالْمُتَشَحِّطِ بِدَمِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ وَأُحُدٍ. And when he reaches his brother and fulfills his need, he is like those martyrs on the day of Badr and Uhud, whose body were covered in their blood in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَالْمُتَشَحِّطْ بِدَمِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This person didn't fight, didn't engage in any physical conflict. He just went there to do what? قَضَاءٌ لِحَاجَةَ أَخِي, to fulfill the need of his brother. Imam al-Sadiq says, how can we understand these narrations? Sometimes we may think, yes, this is by Imam al-Sadiq, okay, no words. We accept it. We submit to Imam al-Sadiq. What? We do not understand it. It's so hard, yes, to comprehend these kinds of words. But if you look at the purpose, the highest purpose of Ahlul Bayt, to build such a civilization, such a society, you will understand that this makes so much sense. That this is not in the battlefield that shuhada arise. No. Even in this normal daily life, you can be shaheed. وَقَاضِي حَاجَتَهُ كَالْمُتَشَحِّتِ بِدَمِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. قَاضِي حَاجَتِهِ. Yes. Imam al-Sadiq is training us. He says that you have to be like this towards your brothers and your sisters, to be ready to give away everything. But, you know, sometimes, even if we read these narrations and even if we believe in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, it is not easy to implement these teachings. We need, you know, somehow a greater inspiration. And that was given to us by Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Look at this Arba'in walk. All those Iraqi people you see, some of those people are so poor that the only thing that they have for a year is what they are giving away in these 10 days and nights. And really, many of them, they cannot eat what they are giving to you during this Arba'in walk. This is not their ordinary food. Never. Their children, that they are so interested to give you something, they know that they will not be able to eat this in the next week or in the next month. They know that. Where can you find this? Where on this planet you can find such a thing? And they beg you to give you something. In this ordinary lifestyle of people on this planet, even for Muslim people, sometimes we fight with our brothers to take something from them, not to give something to them, to take. And this is not the manner of the follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And without this, you can't talk about Islamic civilization, Islamic society. Those are just words that disappear in the air. But Imam al-Hussein, as I said before, because he was ready to give away everything, his teachings raised some people that are ready to give away everything. And this is the beginning. This poor, you know, families and households of Iraqi people, and then Pakistanis and Iranians and Indians and other Shia members of the Shia community, this is the beginning of that civilization. This prepared people to understand and to give away. Because you read the narrations of the time of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi, you see that it is said that when some people goes to like a grocery store, he just takes what he needs and puts the money there. There is no CCTV or, you know, a person to, you know, have some surveillance upon those people. No, nothing. He knows that the owner of this shop is a fair man, and he is fair enough to give that money. And we cannot underestimate this. Many of the problems of today's world is because of that. People are not convinced in what is really their right. They always want more. Just imagine tomorrow that no one in this planet, on this planet, wants more than his right. What happens? You won't need any policeman. You won't need any borders. You won't need any. It will be all disappeared. That is the Jannah ala al-Arz. That is the paradise on this planet and the earth. And one day, this life of the mankind should experience such a situation. And we see this universe. Which school of thought, which philosophy, which religion, which denomination is capable of giving human being such a mindset and inspiration, except Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and his school of thought? Really? Here we have different people from different races, different complexions, different languages, different places they're coming from. This is a very good place to judge. Have you ever met any religion, any school of thought that trains people, elevates people like this? That is so important. This is the secret of Arba'een. This is the secret of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. As I said before, this is the secret behind all those ziyarat that Ahlul Bayt recommended always. On this night, Ziyarat al-Hussein. This night, Ziyarat al-Hussein. Again, this night, Ziyarat al-Hussein alayhi salam. Shia, followers of Ahlul Bayt, must be reminded of Hussein ibn Ali. They always need to remember him. Because Hussein is the key to the paradise of this world and in the Day of Judgment. He is really Safinatun Najah. And everyone focuses on Hussein. Even Rasulullah focuses on Hussein. The prophets, Nuh, Musa, Isa, this is something behind his movement. Salamullahi alayhi. Just look at those Iraqi families. You know, they, you know, treat you like they are your humble servant. And you know, they are, you know, people with dignity and pride. And some of them are the head of their tribes. And it's so hard, you know, in the Arabic culture, it's so hard. But they do this. They act against their culture. And this is the key of success, to act against your culture if this culture was not originated from the religion. You live in Iran, act against your culture if it's not according to Islam. You are from Pakistan, act against your culture if it wasn't originated from Islam. Sometimes we, you know, hear weird things in Iran, in Pakistan, in Iraq, and ask, is this from Islam that you don't do this or you do this? No. It's because of my ancestors. Sadatana wa kubara'ana, as Quran says. Fa'adhalluna sabil. We do this because our ancestors did so. This is the, you know, argument of al-jahiliyyah. These people are even acting against their culture. This is what all of us need to do. Go back to real Islam. Go back to pure Islam. But it's not that simple. We recite in the Surah Ali Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا. Oh, the believers, be patient. Okay? اصبروا, be patient. Is that enough in Islam? No, it's not enough to be patient. وصابروا. What does صابروا mean? It means help each other to be patient. مصابرة. Help each other to be patient. Why? Why patience? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who said, our Lord, our God is Allah, but it's not the end of job. Then, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And they resisted. Because the moment you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, all the trials and turbulences fall upon your head. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have narrations about this here. Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi says, إِنَّ الْحُرَّ حُرٌّ عَلَى جَمِيعَ أَحْوَالِهِ إِنَّا بَتْهُنَا إِبَتٌ صَبَرَ لَهَا وَإِنْ تَدَاكَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَصَائِبِ. The free person is free in every circumstances, under every circumstances. Even if he goes through trials and turbulences, وَإِنْ تَدَاكَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَصَائِبِ, and even all those turbulences pour upon his head like rain, he's still resistant. لَمْ تَكْسِرْهُ. These turbulences, they cannot break this man. وَإِنْ أُسِرَ وَقُهِرَ وَاسْتُبْدِلَ بِالْيُسْرِ عُسْرَ كَمَا كَانَ يُوسُفُ الصِّدِّيقِ. In another narration, we have, I think that is again from Imam al-Sadiq, that our lover, if goes to a far away island, the trials and turbulences will follow him. So if you are a follower of Ahlul Bayt, it's common. Yes, be ready for that. Be prepared for that. Because Husayn ibn Ali was the most beloved person for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he endured and resisted and suffered the most painful incidents on the day of Ashura. So, it's not that simple. It's not just Arba'in walk. If you are really a follower of Ahlul Bayt, you need to be patient against propaganda of materialism, doubts, problems in your life, inconvenience that you always experience because you are the Shia of Ahlul Bayt. But it's not enough. Then help your brothers and sisters to be patient. Help your brothers and sisters to be patient. I see some of our African brothers here. Look at Sheikh Zakzaki from Nigeria. Hafidhahullahu abqahu wa ra'ahu inshallah. He was resistant. Gave away 6 sons, martyrs. But he's not just a patient man. He helps millions to be patient. That is the Shia of Amir al-Mu'minin, salamullah alayhi. Be patient and help others to be patient. How? Help them. In thoughts and ideas. Help them. Look at your brother, Shia brothers and sisters. They are under attack from everywhere. And this is the plan of Shaitan. So what's your role here? You have to help them. Especially if you are a student in Islamic seminaries. Be prepared for that. Help them. There are so many shubahat. Who's going to respond? Go to Pakistan now. Millions, millions of followers of Ahlul Bayt. They have no idea. Many of them. Because of us. Because of us. Because we don't do what we need to do. Millions of them, they don't know what is the reality of Ahlul Bayt and Imamah and other things. And they are so sincere. They are ready. If now they were on the plains of Karbala, they would sacrifice their lives for Rabbi Abdullah al-Hussein. But doubts, problems. Shaitan is ready to misguide people. This is our role, to help them. Help them. And settle them on the right path of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Because these doubts come from the people against the whole idea of monotheism. From the people against the idea of Islam. From the people against the idea of the school of Ahlul Bayt. And even within the school of Ahlul Bayt, even now you see that some people are, you know, spreading false claims. And they claim that this is the origin of the school of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which is not. We have to help our brothers and sisters. First in thoughts and ideas, and then in their intentions and inspirations. We have to give them this intention. Encourage them, because it requires courage. You know, on the day of Ashura, in the beginning of the day, when Muslim ibn Awsaj rahmatullah alayhi, he went to the battlefield and struck by the enemy, when he was lying on the ground and looking at Abi Abdullah al-Hussein that came to him, Imam asked him, or Habib ibn Madahir asked him, what is your last will? What do you want to say? He said nothing but this. He looked at Habib and told him, عَلَيْكَ بِهَذَا. Be careful of the son of Rasulullah. This is my wasiyya, nothing more. And this is Habib, the great Habib. But even in that time, Muslim says, be a strong Habib. You're watching me bleeding. I don't want, God forbid, that it somehow trembles you. No. Be in the line of Hussein. This is how we need to support each other. This isolation, this modern isolation of your family, of your household, from others, this does not come from the teaching of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's coming from other places. In some narrations, it is said that if you have a neighbor, one of the 14 neighbors of you that has slept at night hungry, you cannot be called Muslim the other day, the next day. Why? Because you were not aware that one of your neighbors is hungry. We are far away from these teachings, yes? Far away. So we need to go back. And Arba'in ignites this fire of the civilization, of a society based on the teachings of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayhima. And this is all bi barakati Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. for all those people that have that still have this question. Why Imam Hussein would go to a place that he for sure knows that people there are going to kill him? And we have in Quran, وَلَا تُلْغُوا بَأَيْدِكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Hey, brother, sister, this is not tahlukah. This is the eternal salvation of the human being, not tahlukah. Why do you confine your glasses and your eyes to that very, tiny moment of the history that Imam Hussein got martyred? Okay, he knows that. But he is doing something greater in the history of mankind. Because he is not just the Imam of the Kufi people and the people of Basra and Medina and Mecca in his time. He is the Imam of the jinns and the ants for the entire time. He is the eternal Imam for everyone. Even for us. And even now he is guiding us. His teachings are guiding us. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We have to be united under the flag of Hussein. Not the false flags. And the flag of Imam al-Hussein is the flag of martyrdom. I remember 10 or 11 years earlier. It was the beginning of the emerging of ISIS and other terrorist groups in Syria and Iraq. The Arbaeen Walk was under attack, under threat. The very shrine of Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha was under threat. Even the Karbala and Najaf were the targets of those terrorists. And they wanted to demolish the holy shrines of Ahlul Bayt and what they did to Samirra. And what happened? Some people went to the mosques and Husayniyah and said, Mawlai, Ya Mawlai, just save us? Or no? Because their Imam was Hussein, they went to the battlefield and they gave away their pure blood in the way of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Many of them were young people. Brothers and sisters, many of them had 3 or 4 year old children, daughters. Now they are orphans. Some of them now they are 14, 15. And for all these 10 years they had no father. This is a sacrifice. This is the real flag of Hussein ibn Ali. To be ready to sacrifice your life, not just to talk about sha'air. And where you are needed, you're not there. This is the teaching of Hussein ibn Ali and alayhi salam. And this raises great people like, maybe you know that Shahid Sadrzadeh, this young, strong man, Rahmatullahi alayhi, got martyred in Halab in Syria. A year before his martyrdom, there is a video clip of him. He says that, I hope that in next Tasu'a, I can be with Abbas. And he got martyred on the day of Tasu'a. And there's a beautiful story here. Maybe you have watched that video clip of his mother. His mother says that he had an accident on the day of Tasu'a. And in the exact time that I got informed that he had an accident, I made a vow. I made a nadr that, Ya Allah, if you keep him healthy, I would do this. And I would dedicate this son to the Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And his mother says, the exact time that he got martyred in Syria was the time that I made that nadr. This doesn't, I know, it doesn't make any sense when you have this materialistic worldview. Doesn't make any sense. You don't have an explanation for that. But for a world that we believe that is ruled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these things make sense. Make sense. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this tawfiq to be in the Arba'in walk, inshallah, next year. I don't know what happened for those people who left behind. I don't know, Ya Allah, Ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, maybe on the Laylatul Qadr, our supplications were not enough. Maybe on the day of Ashura, we didn't ask enough. That today we see our brothers and sisters are saying goodbye to us, bidding farewell, and going to Karbala and sending us these photos from the holy shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. It is so hard to left behind, but you know, brothers and sisters, we're not just the only lovers of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein who left behind from the great caravan of Imam al-Hussein. The greatest person who left behind was Ruqayya salamullahi alayhi. On the day of Arba'een, it is said, you know, some narrators say that all the household of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, they reached the holy land of Karbala after all those problems, all those trials and tribulations. And this time Zainab reached and from far saw the grave of Hussein ibn Ali and started to talk to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So tonight, inshallah, tomorrow is Friday, and this is the special time of the ziyarah of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Just imagine that you are with all those zuvar and the pilgrims of the holy shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, so exhausted and tired, and you are reaching the holy city of Karbala, and you are witnessing from far away the holy shrine of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas salamullah alayh, and you are have those feelings in the same time. You're feeling very sad because this is the shrine of the companion of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, the great brother of Abi Abdullah, and in the same time you feel very happy that you could make it and finally reach the holy land of Karbala, Ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Imagine that you are with Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari and Zainab al-Kubra on the day of Arba'een. And let's say salam to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein as a person who really wanted to be in Karbala now. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي everyone حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى على أولاد الحسين وعلى حسين يا مولاي يا مولاي يا مولاي عند ديب أربعين. Oh, the ladies of the household of Abi Abdullah, they rushed to the graves of the martyrs of Karbala. Any one of them going to a grave, Sakina is going to Ali and Al-Akbar, others to other graves. But Zainab is going to the grave of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, once again saying salam to his brother. As-salamu alayka ya Mawla. She remembers. Her memories from the day of Ashura. Oh brother, I remember what happened to you. I remember at the evening of Ashura, you were alone. You went to the battlefield and talked to the bodies of your companions. Ya Habib ibn Madahir, يا مسلم ابن عوسجا، يا عباس، يا أبطال الصفا وفرسان الهيجا. But they did not answer your call, but oh my master, I tried so hard to guard and keep your family safe. But oh my brother, I've got something, someone missing from your camp. Your 3-year-old daughter was with me, but in Shayam I left her behind. But there was a grave with a distance from the graves of Ahlul Bayt and the companions of Hussein near the Euphrates. Maybe Rubab is going to the grave of Abbas. Ya Abbas, I don't want any water. I don't want you to go to the battlefield. Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. But there was another grave behind the tents of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This grave now was empty, the grave of Ali ibn al-Asghar, because Imam al-Sajjad buried Ali ibn al-Asghar on the chest of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This was the moment that Sukaina, Zainab, Umm Kulthum, Rubaya, they all remembered the moment that Abi Abdullah took the baby to the army of the enemy and told them, if I am the guilty here, this baby has no seed. فَاسْقُوا بِشَرْبَةٍ مِّنَ الْمَاءِ. But suddenly Hussein saw his baby is covered in his blood. He shouted, يَا اللَّهُ هَوَّنَ عَلَيَّ مَا نَزَلَ بِهِ أنه بعين الله.
ضحك الله سن الدهر وآل أحمد مظلومون قد قهروا مولانا يا حسين 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 اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم بحق الحسين عليه السلام اللهم اشف مرضانا اللهم سدد ألسنتنا اللهم اجعلنا من خلص شيعة أمير المؤمنين اللهم سلم مسافري كربلاء اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الأربعين اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الأربعين اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الأربعين اللهم احفظ وأيد وانصر قائدنا الخامنئي اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير عوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه بحق مولانا أمير المؤمنين وبحق مولاتنا سيدتنا فاطمة الزهراء البتول رحم الله من يقرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.